Special Olympic World Games are for competitors with intellectual and mental disabilities. Just like the regular Olympics, the games open with the lighting of the huge torch from a flame that's been carried around the world by these special athletes. And if you've ever watched that part of the torch run, you likely had tears in your eyes because the courage and the determination and the hope on the faces of these particular runners is awesome. They personify the Special Olympic Oath, which is, let me win. But if I can't win, let me be brave in the attempt. And as the torch is carried around the world, runners encounter all kinds of discouraging weather and difficult circumstances, but they don't quit. And they don't quit because the torch they carry is called the Flame of Hope. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Being Faithful in a Faithless World.
In Luke chapter 18, Jesus said this. He said, when I, the Son of Man, return, and Jesus is coming back one day, when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find on earth who have faith? Why is it so important? Well, the Bible tells us three things about the importance of faith. I want you to write these down. Number one, the Bible tells us that God is looking for faithful people. God is physically, visibly, actively taking the initiative to look for faithful people that He can bless. God is looking for people that He can bless, and what He looks for is people of faith. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole world, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward Him so that He can show His great power in helping them. This has been one of my life verses, that God is looking for people to use. And if you get usable, He will wear you out. If you get blessable, He will bless your socks off. That's why I don't wear socks. And God says, I will use you if you will be usable. God is looking for people, faithful people that He can use. Number two, the second thing the Bible teaches is that faithful people are hard to find. They're actually quite rare. People who trust God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength are actually quite rare. Faithful people are hard to find. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, everyone talks about how faithful he is, but it is difficult to find someone who really is. A lot of people talk the talk, but they don't really trust God. They don't really believe God. They're trusting their credit card. They're trusting everything else. They say they believe in God, but they don't really trust Him when it comes to their finances, their health, their job, and these other things. Psalm 53 says this, God looks down from heaven at the children of man to see if a single one is wise and seeks God. But he says all of them have proven faithless. Circle that word, faithless. They've all proven faithless. They've all been corrupted by the world. And not one of them always does right. Faithful people are hard to find. God's looking for people to bless, but He can't find people who are blessable, who are going to live by faith. Now, the third thing the Bible says is this. Faithfulness is the key to blessing, to victory. It's the key to victory in your life over all of the problems in your life. And it's the key to blessing in your life. Just being a faithful man, a faithful woman.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Being Faithful in a Faithless World. from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 5. Every child of God can defeat the world. Remember, we're in this battle called the invisible war. And it is our faith, circle that, our faith that gives us the victory. That's how you're going to overcome your problems. Not by intelligence, not by money, not by creativity, but it is by your faith. You're going to be able to overcome difficulties, distress, despair, things like that. Every child of God can defeat the world, and it is our faith that gives us this victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will be richly blessed. As your pastor, I pray that God will bless your life. I want God's blessing on your life in what we're calling the 7 key areas of Decade of Destiny. I want you to have physical blessing, financial blessing, emotional blessing. I want you to have spiritual blessings. I want you to have relational and vocational, mental. I want every area of your life, social, to be blessed. And I want it to be like this: a faithful man will be richly blessed. I want your life to be richly blessed. But in order for you to have that blessing, you're going to have to learn faithfulness. You're going to have to learn how God tests it, and you're going to have to learn how God grows it. So let's look this weekend at the 6 tests of faithfulness and how God uses these things in your life to grow your faith so that then He can bless you. Let's get right into it. Number 1, the Bible tells us that God uses little things to test your integrity. God uses little things to test your integrity. Now, we often think, oh, it's the big things in life that create a leader. No, the big crises in life reveal leadership. But leadership is built not in the big things of life. It's built in the small things of life. That's where integrity shows up, in the stuff nobody sees, in the stuff behind the scenes, in the small, unseen, unspectacular moral choices of life where you do the right thing and nobody's ever going to see it. God tests your integrity in the little things. And faithfulness requires integrity. Faithful people reveal their integrity in the small, the unseen, and the unnoticed acts that nobody ever knows about. Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus says this: whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. And who is ever dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying your public blessing is determined by your private integrity. Did you hear that? Every time a politician has a scandal, you can always count on his defenders to come out and say this: it really shouldn't matter what a guy's private life is like. Have you ever heard that one? It really shouldn't matter what a guy does in his private life. It hasn't has anything to do with him as a leader. It has everything to do with him as a leader. Because if a man lies to his wife, he'll lie to his constituency. Believe me, If he'll lie to his best friend that he said, till death do us part, and be dishonest, and he'll reject and cheat on her, he will cheat on you, voter. Count on it. Count on it. My public blessing as a leader comes because of private integrity that nobody ever sees. Your public blessing as a person comes from your private integrity that nobody will ever see. God uses little things to test my integrity. Not only that, notice the next verse. Jesus says this, "And if you have not been faithful with that which belongs to somebody else, who will give you what belongs to you?" Now, he's talking here about the concept of apprenticeship, that before God gives you something, he will often loan it to you. He'll often see how you work in somebody else's. For many centuries, the only way you learned a job skill is you became an apprentice in somebody else's job. If you wanted to learn to be a shoemaker, you apprenticed to a shoemaker who mentored you. If you wanted to be a mechanic, you apprenticed to a mechanic, and you worked in his mechanic shop before you got your own. The problem today is we have many people going out and starting things, and they've never apprenticed under anybody else, and they get in all kinds of trouble. He says, before you get your own, you need to serve in somebody else. As a pastor, I apprenticed under many other ministries before I was given my own ministry. I served as a youth pastor under a guy's ministry in Norwalk. I served as a Christian teacher in a college before under somebody else's ministry. I served as an associate pastor. I served as a writer in a Christian organization long before God gave me my own ministry. He says, if you're not faithful with somebody else's job, who's going to give you? Are you as particular with somebody else loans you something? Somebody loans you a car. Do you treat it as nicely as you treat your own car? Somebody loans you their home to go on vacation. Do you treat it as nicely as you would your own home? You see, I learned a long time ago this principle. I don't have to own it to enjoy it. But I can take care of it, even though it's not mine. And so I don't have to own stuff for people to... You know, this week a guy... I had to fly over to Phoenix to speak at a convention. And the guy said, "Rick, why don't you get your own plane?" I said, "Absolutely not. Never, you will never hear me get my own plane. Now, if you want to buy one, I'll use yours. I'll be happy. But I don't have to own it to enjoy it." He said, "But you fly all around the world." I said, no, I don't. I'm not going to buy a plane. First place, I don't think it's good for pastors to own that kind of stuff. But I said, I don't have to own it to enjoy it. If somebody else wants to provide, you got a plane, fine, I'll use it. But don't worry about having to own something in order to enjoy it. God will often entrust you with something that somebody else's before he gives you your own. You know, about 2 years ago, remember when we had the 30th anniversary of Saddleback, and we went up to Angel Stadium? Remember when we did that? When we were planning that service, the staff members, we were all sitting in a staff meeting one day, and I thought, you know, we're going to have children at that meeting, and we're not having Sunday school that week, and they're going to get bored in a two-hour adult service. So we better think of something for the kids to do. So I thought, why don't we get a little gift bag that we give every kid who comes to Easter at Saddleback up at Anaheim Stadium? And in that little bag, we'll put, you know, a bottle of water and some crackers so they don't get hungry, and maybe a crayons and a little coloring book for them to do, little activity. And maybe we could come up with a little trinket, kind of like a, you know, toy you get in a Happy Meal that the kids could enjoy because they're going to be in an adult service. Now, we're sitting in this staff meeting, and I'm thinking, who could we ask who might have a little thing we could buy to put in that bag for kids? And a name popped into my mind, and it was Hobby Lobby. Okay, Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby is owned by the Green family. Wonderful Christian family. Live in Oklahoma. They have over 800 Hobby Lobby stores. It's a craft store. None of them are in California. They're all over the Midwest and the East. And they're kind of like a Michaels or a Joann's, but they're bigger than the Michaels and Joann's combined. They're the largest hobby store in the world. And I don't know why this name just popped in my mind. Now, I had never met these people, never met them, but I happened to have Dave Green's email. And so I wrote him a note and I said, "Dear Mr. Green, my name is Rick Warren. And we're thinking about having a big Easter service, and we're going to prepare these little gift bags. And this may be a really stupid idea, but do you have anything in your hobby store that we might be able to buy to put in the bag at Easter?" And while I was writing him, I just told him four or five things we're doing. We just did the peace plan where we went to every single nation in the world, sent 15,000 of our members to go overseas to plant churches, equip leaders, assist the poor, care for the sick, educate the next generation. And, you know, we're trying to build, we're doing a thing called Decade of Destiny. We've got 12 major goals. One of them is we're going to restart a retreat center. We looked at Rancho Capistrano, but that, we're not, we can't afford that. We're going to go after 3,800 unreached people groups around the world, and we started a food pantry. And I was just telling him eight or nine things that we were doing. The next day, I get an email back from this man. He said, "Dear Rick, we talked it over with our family, and there's nothing that we really have that would I think you could use for a kid, you know, thing in a gift bag. However, we would be interested in buying Rancho Capistrano and letting you use it." Hello. Okay, so I call a guy back. I say, "Hey, fantastic." Now, again, we don't have to own something in order to make use of it. That's called faithfulness. Okay? So we didn't need to own it. So they rented us, they leased us Rancho Cap, they bought it. They bought Rancho Capistrano, and they leased it to us for the whopping payment of $1 a month. For the last 18 months. Now, Dave Arnold, the pastor on our staff, graciously paid the first year's rent. So those of you at Rancho Capistrano Church, you should thank Dave for your church, because he paid the $12 for the first year of rent. Now, we don't own this property, but we said we're going to make use of it. We're going to be faithful stewards in that which is not our own. So immediately put it to work. We went down there, we started a church, Rancho Capistrano. We started an intern program, and we put up, we had thousands of our members go down there. That place was a mess, and it was in disrepair. Thousands of our members have gone down the last year to paint, repair, fix up something that wasn't ours. And we started an intern program to put 100 interns there, to bring them in and train them and then send them back to churches. And we start a retreat center and to have an overnight retreat for so people can do life planning. And this fall we're starting a leadership academy to train worship leaders down there and church planters down there and executive pastors down there. We started an organic garden down there in order to provide fresh food, you know, lettuce and tomatoes and things like that, in addition to the canned goods that we're doing and feeding the poor. And we just thought of six or seven different things. Being faithful with that which is not our own. On Monday, they gave us the deed to that property. Okay. Now, they said, "You have been faithful in that which was not your own." That's a $50 million gift to this church. Okay? Now, let me tell you, all we wanted was the back 20 acres, which is the retreat center. That's great. We were glad to get that. That property is actually 170 acres. Now, that's 50 more than this campus here. It's bigger than the mothership. Okay? Okay? It's 170 acres. There is down on that property a retirement home wants to buy the front part of it and build on it. And they have 2 years to perform. So the Hobby Lobby went to them and said, "Well, we're giving the whole land to Saddleback, so you're going to now have to deal with them." And so in 2 years, they will either perform and they will buy the front property. They'll either walk away from it and we get 170 acres for free, or they buy the front part and pay us $35 million cash. I love God. I love it. Now, why did that happen? Because this church has a history of stewardship, of making the most of what we were doing. It wasn't ours, but we were going to make the most of it. So God, number one, uses little things to test my integrity. Number two, second, very important, God uses my talents to test my unselfishness. God uses my talents to test my unselfishness. Now you have to decide in life who or what you're going to live for. And you've really got two choices in life. You're either going to A, live for yourself, a self-centered, miserly life, or B, you're going to live for something greater than yourself, which I highly suggest. The kingdom of God, live for Jesus Christ. You're going to live for yourself, or you're going to live for something bigger than yourself. Faithful people don't live for themselves. They realize that the talents God gave them are not for their own benefit, but they're for the to make the world a better place. Do you realize this? That when God made you, He gave you all kinds of gifts, all kinds of talents, all kinds of abilities. We call it your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences. These five things make you you. And God made you you, and there's nobody like you in the whole world, and He wants you to be you for His glory.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, we all face temptations every day. It's a spiritual battle that takes place inside us. And it makes us vulnerable, particularly if we don't know how to fight it. To overcome temptation is absolutely essential that you know the tactics that Satan uses to trip us up. And it's vital to learn the biblical defenses that God gives us. He has told us in His Word how to handle and how to manage the attacks of Satan. Now, in order to help you learn how to respond to the predictable patterns that Satan uses to tempt you, I've created a study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. This kit, The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, includes a DVD with 7 different sessions and a simple booklet that will help you learn how to overcome and defeat temptation in your life. You really need this. In the series, I will teach you the 3 kinds of temptation, God's antidote to temptation, and even how to avoid temptation in the first place. It is a study guide that you can use by yourself, but you'll actually get more out of it if you'll gather a small group of friends together and study it together as a small group. Now, I want to send you the Invisible War, Winning the Battle for Temptation study kit as my gift to say thanks for your support of Daily Hope with your financial gift. You know, we can't do this without you. And your generosity helps us take the hope of Christ into places all around the world and now to places that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. You can visit rickwarren.org, www.rickwarren.org, or you can call my staff at 1-800-600-5004. If you'll be a supporter, if you'll help me out, if you'll join my team, call 1-800-600-5004. And we'd love to pray for you at the same time. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.